Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Emergency physician, TV personality, speaker, and writer. She's Dr. Lee. It's time for the Dr. Lee Vinoker Show.
Hi, welcome to the show. It's Health from the Outside In. My next guest, Dr. Minardi, is a researcher, educator, specializes in treating allergic diseases. He's board certified, the American Board of Internal Medicine and the Board of Allergy and Immunology. And, welcome for being on the show, Dr. Minardi. And, so allergies, they can pose quite a problem, today, and I want to ask you first, you know, there is something, what is the difference and how common, it seems like we're hearing about allergies all the time, but what is the difference between, say, an oral allergy syndrome and a true allergy to something?
Yeah, oral allergy syndrome is extremely common. It's actually up to about one-third of patients who have any type of tree, grass, or weed allergy. And it's a really simple concept. Basically, trees make pollen and trees make fruits. And there's similar proteins in both. Okay, the protein that you tend to react to in both the fruit and vegetable and in the pollen is actually a defensive protein. So these are plants. They're trying to make more baby plants, trying to take over the world with themselves. And so they put a lot of defensive proteins called LPP both in the pollen and similar-looking LPP proteins in the fruit. So first, you become sensitized to the pollen. You become allergic to ragweed pollen or birch tree pollen. And then over the years, you'll notice that you might start cross-reacting, where it's really common in apples, peaches, and cherries. If you have a ragweed allergy, you commonly see it in melons, where you eat raw fruit and you get a local allergic reaction in the mouth. Typically mild oral allergy syndrome. It typically just localizes to the mouth. But you can have people who have more severe reactions. I had a couple of patients whose the back of their tongue and their uvula will actually swell up. And that actually could be kind of concerning. The severity of the reaction also tracks with pollen levels. So remember, you're really allergic to the birch tree or you're really allergic to the ragweed. You're not really allergic to the apples and peaches. But eating an apple in, say, May, where there's a high level of birch pollen and your birch antibody is high, is going to have a much more severe reaction than eating it, say, in December, when your birch antibody levels may be lower. That's cross-reactive.
Huh, that's interesting. And that, you don't really see the true anaphylaxis that we see.
No, correct? You don't. You don't see the systemic, right? So anaphylaxis, we define as sort of a systemic allergic reaction as opposed to a local one. The problem is that if you have a severe local reaction for oral allergy syndrome, it just happens to be in the wrong neighborhood for a local reaction. It's your airway. So you do have to be careful with it. The majority of people with oral allergy syndrome have very mild itching in the mouth and the tongue. But we see that very frequently. And what's interesting about oral allergy syndrome is it occurs as you get older. Okay, so usually systemic allergic reactions, a peanut allergy, a milk allergy, an egg allergy, that happens to kids, you know, two-year-olds, three-year-olds. Oral allergy syndrome happens to 22-year-olds and 33-year-olds. It doesn't really happen to kids. So it's a later onset. So if someone has all of a sudden developed an allergy or reaction to apples and they're 33, it's almost certainly oral allergy syndrome. We have to remember is that there's actually another fruit out there that is really common in oral allergy syndrome, and that fruit are nuts. So almonds, hazelnuts, walnuts, those are still fruits. They hang off of trees. So people will also have a reaction to that too. So late onset hazelnut or late onset almond reactions also typically are oral allergy syndrome.
Mm-hmm. So then something like a shellfish or a fish allergy that predominantly would present, you know, in your lips or something, that's not a traditional oral allergy, right? Those types of things are...
You got me. I told you that. you stung me. So I told you that food allergies tend to happen to children, and they do, except for shellfish. Shellfish is one of those that just, you can be 37 and you just become allergic to shellfish. a lot of theories as to what that is, but that is more of a systemic, severe anaphylactic reaction, a shellfish allergy. No one's quite sure why it happens to adults. There's a couple of theories out there, but it is that is absolutely a true adult onset but systemic reaction.
Hmm. So what do you tell people? I know, you know, some people, what do you tell them in the summer? So, you know, they go to parties, they go to things. And well, here, before we start that, I just want to ask another quick question that I thought was fascinating. So, you know, if you think, if you have a reaction, it's very hard to pinpoint, you know, as an ER doctor, people will come in with these reactions and then, you know, it's my guess as good as any, and I'm referring them to people like you, but do you recommend the very first time? I mean, my feeling is I think everybody should sort of get checked out, especially if they're bad enough that they came into the ER. So how many people, how do you test and find this out?
Absolutely. If somebody is severe enough where they end up in an emergency room, absolutely, they should be evaluated by an allergist. We can evaluate them very quickly afterwards. And there's an issue with the testing I'll get into within a second. But as far as you're an ER physician, you have the ability to save lives in a way that I can never do. I'm an allergist. I can sort of walk people through a food allergy because it's within my wheelhouse. So even if we can't do anything as far as testing is concerned, when I see a patient who has a food allergy, you know, I all of a sudden start going into how to avoid these foods, how to read labels, when to use the EpiPen, when not to use the EpiPen. All of those things are what an allergist can help with. Because very shortly after an allergic reaction to a food, the skin test and the blood test may be negative. Mm-hmm. And we sometimes will wait up to 6 weeks after the event to do a test. Because the scary thing for me is not a false positive. The scary thing for me is a false negative. Right. I tell somebody that they're not allergic to something when they actually are. You know, you can think about a mast cell as the mast cell is the allergy cell that causes this. That, you know, if it has reacted to, say, peanuts and degranulated, you got to wait for it to, you know, get ready again for another reaction. And that is what we have to wait for. So even though the reaction, say, happened on Tuesday, I'll still see the patient on Friday, even though we may not skin test until 6 weeks later.
Oh, I see. And then somebody said something interesting. So if your skin test is negative, it really means it's a high probability it's negative. But if it's positive and you're not having the history of a problem, it's not that accurate. Is that true?
This is getting into the problems of skin testing. So you know this as well as I do, Dr. Lee, that in medicine, we invent a procedure for X. It works really well for X, and let's just use it for Y and Z. So skin testing was invented for pollen, and it works exceptionally well for figuring out pollen allergies. And now we're using it for foods, and the sensitivity and specificity just isn't the same. A negative in a skin test is a pretty good negative. It's about 85% to 90% negative. That's pretty good predictive value. The positives sometimes are where there's problems. It is up to 40% false positives, particularly with oral allergy syndrome patients. If you were to skin test somebody with a strong birch allergy, their almond will come up. Their cherry will come up. They're not really allergic to them. So the positives are where you have some of the issues. The negatives are pretty good. But that being said, Dr. Lee, about 20% of our food challenges are failures. So in other words, a patient comes in, they have a history of a reaction to peanuts, the skin test is negative, the blood test is negative, and we do a challenge, and at some point in the challenge, they react. It occurs 20% of the time, and that's why we do all challenges in an allergist's office.
Well, so I think the key, and, you know, I have a son that just recently was regarded, and him being a teenager, he's like balks at it. And I tell him all the time, you know, he'll go out with his friends to some restaurant, and, you know, he's a boy. He doesn't ask. So I keep telling him, take your EpiPen. Well, I want to thank my guest. It's very interesting. We could do a whole show on allergies, and maybe we will someday. This is the Dr. Lee Vanocur Show. It's Health from the Outside In on Radio MD, where you can tune into your health.